state manager presentations. We're only 30 minutes behind today. That's really, considering what we've done so far, is pretty good. And Bob, I'm going to hand you the reins.
I'm going to very quickly hand this over to Tim.
Okay.
We're listed on there, but we concur in the recommendations, but this is really Tim and Chief's turn.
Okay.
So on May 8th, we had a memo from staff talking about the real estate dollars available to deploy and looking for direction from the board. In that memo, we talked about up to $60 million available to deploy over the next 18 months to value add. We went immediately back to our two existing value add managers who are in the market. Mm-hmm. That's Invesco and Long Wharf. Chief did a great job of doing some due diligence on this in a very compressed time frame. And we're coming back with the recommendation for up to $35 million allocation to Invesco Real Estate Fund 3, the follow-on fund there, and up to $25 million to Long Wharf Real Estate Partners 4, the follow-on fund there. These are both much lower dollar amounts than our prior commitments. Part of that is the fact that both firms are raising much smaller fund sizes this time around. Invesco is probably going to raise about a $400 million fund, and Long Wharf is going to raise $250. So we're going to downsize our commitment size. Part of that's part of the reason they're raising smaller funds is they both had problems in the past. We have them on watch right now. Invesco got in trouble both with some probably a bit more leverage than they thought they should have had in the 2008 downturn, and they had some CMBS investments, some commercial mortgage-backed security investments that basically went south on them, that they had complete losses or almost complete losses on. Long Wharf, obviously we had the spin out from Fidelity. It's a newly independent group. It's a new investment committee structure, and the portfolio manager responsible for the prior funds is no longer with the group. The portfolio manager was responsible for Fund 2 and for the very beginning of Fund 3. Is no longer with the group, so it's a different structure there. It's interesting though, and we went through this in our memo. We took a look at the track record of both Invesco products as they stand relative to their peers, and it's an okay picture there. And then we said, well, let's look back, hindsight's 2020, but if they hadn't had the CMBS exposure, what would it look like? And you know, not surprisingly, it's a much better track record there. We did the same thing with Long Wharf. We looked back and said, the acquisitions team you have today, you know, the folks who are there today doing the buying, you know, show me everything they've bought historically and kind of reconstructed a track record there, and again, it improves it considerably. It's hard to put a lot of stock into analysis, the what-if analysis like that, but just understand that where they're at today is probably not 100% representative of what they did historically. That can be a good thing or a bad thing, but just understand that we're trying to do a forward-looking analysis here. So Invesco without CMBS, Long Wharf without the past personnel issues there.
What happened to Invesco?
Invesco had a couple CMBS positions that basically in 2008, CMBS is inherently levered and they basically crashed.
On the Long Wharf, you're saying that the people who originally were with Fidelity aren't there anymore. So did they bring new people in or did people that were there move up?
One person walked out, and Bob's got the history on this one.
Okay.
Michael Elizondo had been kicked up into a more supervisory position. He's back on the investment committee now, and the person who was the sole PM, because remember, they were owned by Fidelity, yeah. And Fidelity has basically the thought process that they like single PMs in all their strategies, regardless of underlying asset class. So they had to basically come back and said, we're going to have a single PM here.
The Peter Lynch of the, right. of the real estate fund. So he made all the decisions, and he put you in Sparks, Nevada, and he was wrong, and he got canned. Now they've moved the new operation, the Long Wharf, is more of a consensus. They've got a bunch of smart real estate guys, so they're making decisions together instead of one guy sitting up in his ivory tower.
They've got a six-person investment committee now.
But that committee is new.
The folks were generally around. They've been there a good long while.
Okay.
But the structure is in place.
Right. That's why I was wondering if they brought them in from the outside.
No. The people are consistent. The structure is different.
Yeah. Instead of one guy making all the decisions, they have a team.
A six-person. And technically, Michael Elizondo's got veto power, although he claims he never used it.
Sure. First among equals.
Mm-hmm. Marilyn and I visited Long Wharf, the investor conference, last fall, right? When did we go? We observed the same thing, that they have a very cohesive group of very experienced people who all now work together as an investment committee, and I think that was well explained. In their presentation, they explained some of the history of how things happened, and they knew what their mistakes were, and those weren't going to be repeated.
I had more question on the go back to how much money they're raising. $400 million in one fund and $225 million in the other. Or $250 million.
$250 million. Yeah.
So we think about the 10% to 15% investment. You're talking
10% to just under 10%.
Okay. All right. I think you're ready. Any other questions? We're ready to go. Thank you. Bring Invesco in.
Hang on to questions.
One more question.
When are they closing three Invesco?
June 30.
Okay. Quickly.
When are they closing on Long
Wharf? In all likelihood, they're going to have the next close on June 30. There's a high likelihood that will be the final close.
So the both of them are going to
be. Yeah, the Long Wharf one snuck up us a little bit. Okay. Yeah. Basically, they're going to
see that.
In Long Wharf, they're going to have a markup to one of their assets that if you come in before June 30th, you get it at the cost basis rather than marked up basis.
Thank you.
That's causing kind of a flood of investors to come in by that point, or so we're told.
Got it.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Luz. Let's bring Invesco in.
Yeah, I got a lot of people want this car, so
today's the only day.
Today's the last day because I got to call the people I've been in. You all right?
No.
Yeah. Oh. Take off another 1,000.
Well, I'm lucky.